Hi.
They're warm.
I always feel weird when I'm sitting up here. I'm a mover.
I can tell the difference between some of the people worshiping and some of the people just fanning out their arms.
It's like...
So...
All right, we'll get to that. Well, like Courtney said, we are kind of launching into a new series of series, which sounds kind of weird, but it actually makes sense when you understand what we mean. So all throughout the summer, we're going to be talking about building the kingdom of God. And we're going to start at the very beginning, which is today. So all throughout this series, we're going to be using the physical, like, metaphor of a building, like, project, like a house or a business or a church or something like that, like a physical building to kind of metaphorically talk about building the kingdom of God. But, you know, the kingdom of God is not a physical place. So we have this scripture that Matt's going to read to you.
I sure am. It's Luke 17, 20 through 21. It says, "Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst, or is within you.'"
So it's just like that song that we were just singing. It's not about an actual building. It's about something that is growing inside of all of us. And as it grows inside of all of us, then it grows within the world. So when Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand, kingdom of God has arrived," he was talking about the presence of God indwelling and filling the people, the believers, us. So this summer, we're going to be learning all about how to build the kingdom of God on earth. So we're going to be looking at the first part of it today, which is kind of the vision for it, or the plans. Because if you know anything about building, you know that before you can even break ground, there has to be a plan in place. There has to be some idea of what's going to happen. So we have a fun little summer project that's going to be going on at my house. Pray for me. All right, so I love Legos, and thankfully, my kids do too. So we have this set. It's a building set, and it's, anyone know what this building is? Does it say on the front? It's the Capitol building. So this is kind of representative of the Kingdom of the United States of America. Now, that's kind of weird terminology because you don't think about the U.S. as being a kingdom. But if the U.S. was a kingdom, which it kind of is, it's a political entity and a national place, this would be kind of like the palace, the castle. So this is where the stuff happens, you know? So throughout the summer, and yes, probably the whole summer, because this is 2,888 pieces, and when I ordered it, it said micro mini blocks, and I didn't believe them. These blocks are tiny. The set came with tweezers, y'all. Tweezers. So I'm going to be putting it together with glue because I'm not going to redo that. So the reason why we are doing this project is, one, to kind of have something to do through the summer, but also to kind of use as an example for this series of building, because we're going to start at the very beginning with this. So if you look at the front of the box, you can see this is an image of the final project. This is a vision, a concept of what is to come. But it's not together yet. So that's kind of where we are in this mission, or in this message today. We're going to just be talking about the plan. And so we're going to be focused a little bit on Project Community and Project Church and kind of where we started on it. Now, not only do I love Legos, but I'm also a really big nerd. So I was doing a little research on the Capitol building to just kind of learn about the building process of the Capitol building, because I've never really learned that. And I found out something pretty interesting. Now, when George Washington hired the first architect to design and build the U.S. Capitol building, the first architect and designer, he actually got fired from the job. He got fired for two reasons. One, he wouldn't draw or share his design with anyone. He said it was in his head. He wanted full control of the vision. 2, he would not submit to the authority of others. Not even George Washington. So we don't want to make the same mistakes here. We're 1 year in to Project Community, Project Church, and we don't want to make these same mistakes. So today is about that. We want to share the vision with you. If we can't physically write it down or draw a picture of what God's put in our hearts for this place, but we're going to tell you what the vision is that God's given to us. So we want to tell you who we are as an organization, our motivation for getting started, what we hope to accomplish, and how you can be a part of it. Second of all, we also want to make it clear that we, Matt and Carrie, we were called to start and kind of initiate and kind of guide this organization, but it does not belong to us. It is not about us. If we left, which we have no intention of doing, if we left tomorrow, I believe that it would continue on. It's not about us.
It's like the grill when you go to turn your grill on, and it's like you have that little sparker that clicks, just a little clicking thing. That was us. Yeah. But you guys are the fuel and the thing that continues to make the fire.
We're the clicker. You guys are the gas leak.
So. We're the clicker. That's all we did.
So basically, yeah, we're all in this together. For it to work, we all have to be in this together. And no one else is above anyone else in the kingdom of God. So we don't want to build an organization where one person or two people or three people are over anyone else. So do you want to tell them about kind of where it started?
Yes. I'll let you do that because I'm not sure exactly which parts of the story to share.
Okay, so a few years ago, we had the privilege of getting to go to Guatemala. Most of you guys have heard us talk about this before, but it's hard not to talk about because it kind of was a switch in our lives. It changed our focus, and it convicted us. It convicted us to know that we needed to do things a little bit differently. What we encountered there, it changed not only us, but it changed the way that we read the Bible. It changed the way that we even viewed church. It changed the way that we viewed the world. It kind of gave us a different perspective. So one of my favorite scriptures was a scripture that was used kind of as the main scripture for the orphanage that we visited. And it's James 1:27. So Matt's going to read kind of a section of scripture around that.
It says, "Do not merely listen to the word so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." That's kind of me. "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, love God, love others, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep the tight rein on their tongues, deceiving themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." James 1:22-27.
We had a new perspective. And what we saw there, it made us realize something that we honestly had not realized before. We both grew up in Russellville. We're small town people, and we kind of grew up a little bit sheltered from the world as a whole. I mean, if you think about it, most of the United States is kind of sheltered from the rest of the world. But all of a sudden, the blinders were taken off, and we saw that this passage is still very relevant, that looking after the widows and the orphans is not just something that was supposed to happen in the biblical times. It's not just something that was supposed to happen 100 years ago. It is something that is still very relevant, and it's something that's relevant right here in our own community. But maybe we just don't notice. You know, it's not the political powers in a country or world powers that can save the world. It doesn't matter if man comes up with all of the laws, all of the organizations, all of the help networks. That is not going to change the world. What we realized is that in order to make a difference in the world, the church, like globally, the church needs to be activated. So we learned quickly that we had to put our faith into action. So how do you do that? Because it's not enough to just say we have to activate our faith. Like, I'm a detail person. I want a how-to manual. That's why I love Legos, because they have a how-to manual. And you can follow step by step. I want a step-by-step manual on how to build the kingdom. And we have the Bible. But we have to look at it with a new perspective. So we have to know how to do it. So Matt's going to read another passage here.
What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and food daily. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing to their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even demons believe in that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? What was our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled by saying, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so the faith without deeds is dead. James 2:14-26.
So this is talking about like the importance of coupling action and faith. So don't mistake this for saying that you can earn your salvation. That is not what this passage is saying. What this is saying is that if you have faith, if you have salvation, if you believe in God, then it is your responsibility to act like Jesus, to activate your faith. He did not just talk. He did not just say things. He did things. And that's our responsibility. So what was our response? So we're not interested in just building another social club with a church sign. We want to build the kingdom. And we believe that we can do that by intentionally putting our faith into action. So a little over a year ago, we filed for a nonprofit called Project Community. And Matt's going to tell you a little bit about what Project Community is.
So Project Community kind of stemmed out of interesting scenario with COVID. We discovered that the church wants to go into action and be the church and help people and do things in the community that benefit others. And what happens a lot of times is that nonprofit, you're considered a 501c3. Churches are also 501c3s. The issue a lot of times is that when you are filing for, like, say, a grant, if you want to do a grant through the government or through a local grant organization, whatever, a lot of times they'll look at a church and they'll say, okay, great, you applied for this grant, but if I give money to one church, I have to give money to every church. Another aspect of that was just the idea of the action piece of what we were doing. We were delivering food to elderly people during COVID, food and medicine and different things that they needed. And so in that journey, we discovered that this nonprofit idea, you know, it doesn't matter what you file your 501c3 as. The government doesn't care as long as you do your proper paperwork. So Project Community kind of came out of that. We're like, okay, let's not just be a church. Because if we're just a church, then we're going to be seen just as a church. What if we did something different and did something out of the box, some out of the box thinking, and became something that was more than just a traditional church? So that's where Project Community, the idea of Project Community came from. It kind of stemmed out of that thought, well, if we were a 501c3 nonprofit, but that wasn't a church, that just so happened to have a church within it, then maybe we could apply for some grants, do some things differently so that we could potentially expand our ability to help others. I'd be happy to report that we've gotten several grants since we've become Project Community. In fact, we just received one last week for $1,000 through the Community Foundation here in town, which is great. And so that's going to help go towards just helping our basically our elderly population. That's what I wrote the grant for itself. Either repairing wheelchair ramps or fixing up a bathroom or whatever it is, that $1,000 can go towards it. And so we're really excited. We don't necessarily have like a project in mind right this second, so that money goes into our Project Community Fund, which is a separate fund outside of our normal church checking account that we spend money in. So Project Community is that nonprofit with the intention of being and restoring hope for a community. And so the mission statement for Project Community is that Project Community exists to serve and enrich the diverse families of Johnson County with compassion and generosity. That's our mission statement for Project Community. Our values, the things that we value for Project Community are these: service, family, diversity, generosity, compassion, and enrichment. So with those, our goal is to work with other nonprofit organizations, businesses, and other churches to advance the kingdom through those actions, through those actionable items, through serving the community, through education programs that are available in the community, through partnering businesses with other nonprofits when they need. Sometimes businesses just have extra money they want to give to a nonprofit, but they don't know where they want that money to go. And so that's an opportunity for us to come in and say, what are your passions? What do you love? Like, what breaks your heart? Okay, cool. Hey, did you know that there's a nonprofit organization right down the road that does that very thing? You need to be involved with them. And so working with those other nonprofits, churches, businesses, and I know we've got a great partnership with both New Life and Hedgeway here in town. And a lot of times, like, we'll get a project. Like last year we had, I think it was like way too many lawns. And so I called Seth from Hedgeway and I was like, hey man, I've got way too many lawns. Do your guys want to do some lawns? We'll do some lawns. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to. So I sent them a list of lawns. We took a list of lawns and we both just knocked it out. It was awesome. Being able to do things like that's really cool. One of our goals is to become a central hub to those that are in need to find the resources that they are looking for. In fact, we have a Resource Alliance board that meets once a month, and it's where all the nonprofits in Clarksville actually get together, and we discuss things that are going on, issues they're having. We discuss maybe what funds they have available currently, and the things that they're able to help with currently. And then we bring in resources from the outside to help them with their nonprofits. So things like how to write grants, how to write federal grants, how to apply for these local grants, or how to keep track of your records, different things like that. Those are the types of things we bring into these Resource Alliance groups to really build up that nonprofit community here Because, I mean, I would say probably 99% of people who are involved in those nonprofits are fellow believers. They may not come to our church, but they're a part of the kingdom of God. And so, you know, to be able to lift them up and be able to support them as a community of believers, to me, is just, man, it's what we're about. It's what we should be about as the church. Because, yeah, we're a small body, right? Like, we're a small body in comparison to some other churches in town. But there are things that we have to offer. There are things that we can do to really advance the kingdom in our community. And we feel like those are the types of things that we can really do and be that connection point between those nonprofits and those other churches to really make a difference. As far as our board members go, we have Miss Aisha Moore as our president. We have Miss Laura Murray as our vice president. Yes, you are. Just so you know, when I'm filling out the IRS paperwork for our 501c3, like, I'd ask them if they wanted to be board members, but then I forgot to say, like, hey, do you want to be, like, the president? Do you want to be the vice president? And so I literally just, like, typed in all their titles, and I was like, congratulations! You're the president of the board. You're the vice president. So we also have Joe Siski is our secretary of the board. Once again, did not tell him that he was the secretary. Congratulations. And then we have, of course, Jared and Christy Grace, and we have Casey Sisk on our board as well. So we're excited for them to be on our board. They've made a huge difference in making decision. That decision-making process isn't easy, and sometimes it takes a village to make some of those tough decisions or make some of those hard choices. And having a group of people around you that is, they're fellow believers, but they also have different backgrounds and different ways of thinking, and they're diverse. And that's huge to me, because you've got to have those voices in the room to make the right decisions. Even if you have to argue while you're in the room, as long as you can come out of that room with a decision that everyone is in agreement with, then it really makes a huge difference towards making, you know, building our community. And so we have our board members. Those board positions will change every few alternating years to kind of keep those people fresh on the board. So it's not the same people making the decisions all the time. We're constantly bringing in new voices and new ideas to those board.
All right, so part of Project Community is Project Church. And that's kind of the most visible part, for the most part, because, you know, we have a sign. We have people driving by all the time. And so we're known mostly as being a church. But we wanted to take time today to kind of explain how we're set up, because I think it's important for you to know what you're involved in, like what you're a part of. Because it's not just about a Sunday morning, you know, social club. We're not just coming together to talk about Jesus and sing some songs together and then go about our lives. We're in this together, and we're in this to make a difference in the community. So Project Church is a ministry under Project Community that was formed with the hope of creating a community of like-minded individuals that can grow together in their knowledge and understanding of God, the Bible, and the world. Our mission statement is Project Church exists to help give people a new perspective of Christ, Christians, and the church. And the main values that we talk about, that every message that we have, everything that we do, fits in under the title of either discipleship, community, or generosity. And very often, more than one. And this is kind of what we call like our three pillars. So we wanted to kind of break it down just a little bit for you guys. And as part of this summer-long series, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth. But I wanted to just kind of briefly cover it, just so you can kind of see how these three things work within the nonprofit and within the church. So first of all, discipleship. Discipleship is growing and learning from one another. So we like to provide opportunities for people to grow. So of course, the most obvious one is Sunday mornings. When we come together, this is an opportunity for discipleship, to grow together, to learn together through worship and teaching. But we post our messages on the website. We post other resources on the website. Our Facebook page is kind of our main hub of activity. Throughout the week, we post resources, we post songs, we post announcements, but it's not just for that. The past couple weeks, we started doing a hashtag dive in. A few weeks ago, we talked about, you know, if you were like in an ocean and you wanted to find a treasure, then we can give you scuba gear, but we can't like tow you down there. So I challenged you guys to dive in. So look for those posts with the hashtag dive in, because that's going to be resources that you can look into on your own. Because what happens on a Sunday morning is not sufficient for your full discipleship. And we want to be able to come together and do it together, but there's also a certain element of responsibility that you carry for your own discipleship. We walk alongside you, we are here with you, but we cannot do it all for you. But this is an opportunity for us to give resources to kind of help you grow on your own too. And we're also working on developing some new resources for personal growth. Hopefully throughout the summer, we'll be able to kind of roll out some more things like study guides and things to go along with the messages that we're having. So under Project Church, we have different ministries. Right now, we've got Project Kids that gets together on Sunday mornings, but also there's lots of other things that they're working on. We have Project Youth. We have Project Batman, which is kind of the elderly help that's kind of through Project Community. We have Women in Unity, which is a women's group that meets twice a month. We have a men's group that met last weekend for the first time. It's going to be a monthly meeting of breakfast devotion and a service project. We have lots of room for people to start new groups to meet together. So if there's something that, like, if there's not one that you feel like you fit into, then maybe that's your opportunity to start one, because you're probably not alone. So that's my guilt trip for the day. We also have Lionheart, which is, it's not our ministry, but it's in a ministry that we have kind of helped get started on U of O campus. And it's student-led and run, but we help with it. We help give them resources. We help with things that they need. And hopefully there's a lot more to come. Do you have something?
I was going to say Lionheart's kind of like a... It's like supporting a missionary. Right. It's not directly our ministry, but we're there to help and support them in any way that they need.
You talk about that.
That weather's like the sun's gone down and it's cooled it off in here. It's cool. All right, so the church is...
community.
It's a community. It is. And it's... A lot of times it's by choice. So we have the choice to include anyone we want to include in our family, right? In the family of God. And so with that being said, the church really should operate like a family. And there's going to be times that you and I fight. There's going to be times that we don't get along with someone else in this room. There's going to be times where, you know, we're... and a disagreement with one another, whatever it may be, but at the end of the day, we're family. And because we're family, we have a love for one another and a deep-seated love that where we can come and we can just be honest and say, hey, this is what you said, this is how I feel, and then take that information and be respectful to one another. You know, I've seen so many people that get so worked up over like these little conversations, and it's just like, man, you just need to come together and have a conversation, and it's going to make it so much better. But the church really should operate as a family, and not only that, but we're going to be a missional church. We want to activate and encourage one another to be the hands and feet of Jesus every day in our lives. And that's what I love so much about like this women's group and the men's group that we have, and hopefully more groups in the future. With our youth group as well, they do this as well. With the kids group, they do this. But it's when you're in those groups,
it has a layer of accountability there where you're activating that in someone else. And so, like, for the men's group specifically, one of the things we talked about while we were at breakfast was, like, our personal devotion time. Like, how much time do we spend in personal devotion? And we were all just real and raw with one another, and we talked about it. And, you know, there's that camaraderie. There's that building of that relationship there. But it really did push, like, all of us to do a better job of having that one-on-one devotional time, because Carrie's right. You're not going to get all of the spiritual food and sustenance you need just sitting here on a Sunday morning. It's just not going to happen. And so we have to be that missional church, not only to activate our ability to go out and serve the community, but to activate ourselves to serve one another, not just to give each other things, but to, like, to encourage one another to, like, to go on and learn more and become this better Christian or believer, and to really prod one another on towards that goal of being more like Christ.
Yeah, and that being said, we do have, like, I want to encourage you guys to connect with each other outside of these walls. Pray together. Do life together. You know, on our Facebook page, we have a group that's connected to our Facebook page that's called Project Prayer. If you're not on it, then join that group, because that's where we can go. We can post prayer requests, and we can go and pray together for each other's needs. It's not a gossip page, but it's a place to go when you have something that you just need prayer or encouragement for. Or if you have something encouraging to say, that's a place where you can go and you can post it. So go, and we don't talk about that page a whole lot, but go and join that group. If you go to the Project Church Facebook page, then you should be able to click on groups and it should be there.
Perfect. Do we want to move on to generosity?
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about this in announcements, but we don't really elaborate on it a whole lot. But we're talking about the idea of generosity and kind of our belief, and I'm going to give you just a real quick, and if you have questions later, you can ask, but we believe that you should be generous. Jesus taught us to be generous with our time, with our money, with our belongings. He taught us to be generous, and that's the bottom line. That's what he taught us, is to be generous. There's no magical percentage of money that you can give to get yourself into heaven. There's no magical percentage of money that you can necessarily be right with God. It's an ongoing relationship with you and God. And it's asking God, like, what is it that you want me to give? What is it that you want me to give today? What is it that you want me to give tomorrow? Because I can promise you, if you're doing it right, at a certain point, you wake up and realize that you're giving way more today than you did 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, because you're increasing your generosity. And as you increase your generosity, God continues to bless you, and he continues to give you new ways to bless others. Because if you're faithful with his resources, then he's going to be faithful to give you more resources to work with. And I can tell you, just like from us personally, like, that is so, so, so true. That every time, and I'm just being real with you, every time that I have either stopped giving or been concerned about giving a certain amount, and Carrie's like, she's like the faithful one with this. Like, she's like, no, like, we're going to give this amount. And I'm like, you're crazy. Like, we cannot give that much money. And she's like, no, we got this. Like, I've already talked to God. We've already had this discussion. Like, it's over. Just give the money. And I give the money. And I'm like, I'm so reserved. I'm so just worried about that amount. And then, like, something just happens. Boom. And it's like, I don't even have to worry about it anymore. And I'm like, of course you're right. Of course God's right. Like, but, you know, we don't stress money a lot here, because we believe that's between you and God, and that's something that you have to work out with him. You don't have to work it out with me Like, I'm not sitting behind a computer going, oh, they didn't give this week. Well, they didn't give the, you know, like, that's not my responsibility. That's not our responsibility. That's not our board's responsibility. That's between you and God, how much you give and how much you are pouring into that. But besides that, giving of your time, giving of your stuff, those types of things, man, they're just as important as money, because you can give of your time. Now, don't mishear me, okay? I want to say this real quick. Giving of it's a combination of all of these things, right? So it's not just a substitution. So it's not, and I've been guilty of this. So I'm saying this because I've been guilty of this, okay? When I was really heavily involved with another church, and I was spending a whole lot of time with, like, playing music in the church and on the worship team, I said, well, I gave of my time. I don't have to give of my money, right? I gave of my time, so I don't have to give of my money. I'm using that as my paycheck to give to God, right? Like, that's it. In my head, it made sense. And, man, God convicted me so hardcore about that, because it's kind of like working out your body, and you work up your arms all the time, and then you wake up one day and realize that your legs can't support your upper body because your whole upper body is just massive and it weighs a lot, but then your legs are like scrawny, right? It's the same concept. Like, you've got to work out all of those elements, because all of those elements are just as important as the other. And just because you're working out one thing doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to bless you financially because you spent time volunteering somewhere else. Does that make sense? And is there anything I need to add to that? You don't just have to be generous at the church, right? So, and I'll say this too, you don't, like, if God's telling you to give towards XYZ nonprofit this week because that's who you want to bless this week, do it. Follow what God's telling you to do. Do it. Because I can promise you, like, if God tells you to do that, he's going to take care of the church too. You know what I'm saying? Like, he will bless the church. He is more concerned about your heart and you obeying and listening than anything else.
So we have opportunities. You know, we tell you, let's be generous with your time, stuff, and money. But we try to provide opportunities for that to happen. So we have project days, which are planned days to serve in the community together as a church. But don't limit it to that. Like, there's individual project days every time that you pick up a piece of trash out in the community. Throughout the summer, we have a few project days, like kids' project days, that we have planned for our kids to come together and serve. The youth is going to come together and serve. The men's group does a service project once a month. Other ministries have various opportunities to serve. There's always opportunities to serve, but also get involved in the community. What breaks your heart? Find a nonprofit that's doing that. That's being an answer to a problem that you see in the community. And then see about serving on their board. See about what you can do to volunteer at their organization. And you can also, you know, we don't have, like, we've kind of stripped stuff down here. We don't do a whole lot. On the Sunday morning, we don't require a lot. But there are opportunities to serve. If you want to serve the church, then you can serve in media. You can help with the kids area. You can help with youth on Wednesdays. You don't have to have an official serving position to greet people, to talk to people and have conversations. If you don't want to work with people, because I get that, you can clean. There's always, you know, cleaning that can happen. So there's things to do. If you want to serve at the church, we can help with that. If you want to serve in the community, if you tell us what breaks your heart, we can help try to get you connected with a nonprofit or an organization or someone that is doing something about that. Stuff. We have opportunities all the time for you to donate stuff. If a family has a house fire or something, then we'll make a post on our Facebook page, or we'll try to collect some things to give stuff. And that often that doesn't require going out and buying anything. Sometimes we have stuff, most of the time, we have stuff laying around our house we don't need. We have storage buildings full of stuff that we saw 5 years ago. Like, we can share. That's what it's about, is sharing our resources. We also have opportunities, like a couple weeks ago, we had some cards posted up here for Royal Family Kids Camps of things that they needed. And most of those cards, the things on it, cost under $5. And every single one of those cards was taken. So, reminder, if you took one of those cards, bring back the stuff. So, but we have opportunities for that. And then also, Matt's already kind of addressed the money side of things. Financial generosity goes far beyond the traditional tithing model. And we don't teach the traditional tithing model here, because we believe that 10% is an easy way out. Jesus didn't give 10% of himself. He gave 100% of himself. The lady who put in 2 coins, that was all she had. And I'm not saying go and sell your stuff and you know, live on the streets so you can give away all your stuff, because that doesn't benefit the kingdom either. What I'm saying is sometimes we have to give till it hurts. There was times that we were in a pretty financial tight place at one point, and in the middle of a service, God hit me with, hey, you should up your tithing to 30%. Matt said I was crazy. We did it. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. And out of that came the phrase kingdom math, because it didn't make sense. The way that God provided for us, it didn't make sense. That was our Isaac on the altar moment of, are you willing to give? Do you trust me? Will you give back to me? And God provided. He provided. We want to challenge you to be open-handed with all of the resources that God gives you, your time, your stuff, and your money. Because if you can be open-handed and trust him with that, be willing to keep an extra $10 in your wallet in case you come across somebody who looks like they might need it, or someone in front of you is short a little bit of paying for their groceries. Create a habit of generosity in your life, and God will meet you there.
Yeah, that's good. And as far as Project Community goes, you know, we do require resources. We do require funding. But for me to stand up here and tell you, like, hey, it's okay if you have a nonprofit that you need to give towards, that God has, like, landed on your heart, go do it. But for me to say that, and for me not to be up here preaching 10% and say, you got to do 10%, like, to me, it's crazy, right? Because, I mean, I could preach that at you and say, you know, you need to give us all your money. Like, I could preach that at you all day long. But the reality is, if I do that, then I create this expectation of from you to me, like an obligation to me, and I say me, but the organization, right? I create an obligation from you to the organization, and that's not what we're about. And so I want you to be generous. I want you to, even if you have to start small, be generous. And not 100% of it has to go here, right? That's crazy to say, but we've intentionally kept our budget items extremely low so that we can be generous. In fact, it's our goal to give 50% of what comes here on a Sunday morning back into the community in some form or fashion. That's the goal. Now, right now, we're at about 20%. 20% of everything that comes in here on a Sunday morning goes back into the community. So what happens with the other 80%? Well, it goes to pay for the building, for rent. It goes to pay for insurance. We pay Carrie a part-time wage right now with the funds. It goes to pay for just kind of some small ministry expenditures, some things like that, like grape juice. Like, we're going to take communion here in a minute. Some things like that. But that's what that money goes toward. The more we're able to raise, the more we're able to do, then the more things that we'll actually be able to give back towards. Because that budget's kind of a set budget right now, where if we meet that budget item, then we can go up to 30%. We can go up to 40%. We can go up to 50%, if that makes sense. And if any of you ever wants to see the math on any of that, please let me know. I'd be happy to send it to you.
Our financial records are an open book. They're not posted publicly, but we are very open. Like, if you have any questions or anything like that, we'd love to meet with you and let you know, like, where we're at. We do operate on a very small budget, that's intentional, because we don't want to, if more money comes in, we don't want to add decorations. We don't want to add extra things that aren't necessary, because the kingdom that we're building isn't physical. We're building the invisible kingdom of God. It's more important for us to build discipleship and community and generosity in our people than it is for us to spend money on things. But we do have needs. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we don't have a working air conditioner in this building. It's a little stuffy. And this is the first day of the summer that it's been uncomfortable in here. We made it through the winter without a heater. I'm not really happy about the idea of looking at going through the summer without an air conditioner. And we are working on some solutions. We're working on some options. We've looked at other buildings, but I'm going to just be real with you guys. Buildings are expensive to rent. We did the mobile thing for a while. That also comes with a lot of expenses. Moving all this gear on a weekly basis, storing it, and renting facilities that don't always work the best. We've been through that, and we were so blessed to have this location. We love the location of it. It's central in town. It's close to the university. It's a great location. We would really love to stay in this building, but we do need to find some options for air. And like I said, we are working on some solutions, but those solutions cost money. So right now, as it sits, we do not financially, we're not able to move into another location that already has air. So as we're looking for options for air for this building, we ask that you guys would be praying for solutions, be praying for blessings. And we could use some help with that, just financially also. So just keep that on your minds and in your hearts, because being able to meet together once a week, you know, through COVID, we realized that it's not necessary. You don't have to meet together every week, but gosh, I missed it. There's just something about being together in one place, and we don't want to not do that, because it creates the habit of discipleship, the habit of generosity, the habit of community. Another big need that we're looking at is a van, and I know that's probably seems like an extra thing, and we do have a van sitting back there. If you guys can get it to run, that would be fantastic. So it's been running on prayers for a while, but I think the prayer tank is empty on it.
The door's unlocked and the key's in it if anyone's a mechanic and just wants to go work on it.
Yeah,
one day,
or
so.
Just steal it and we'll file for insurance. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. but if you can get it to move. We finally got it working, and I think we got the deed, and within the next week, it didn't run anymore. The title, whatever. Having a van is great for being able to do things like a kids' project day, being able to load up all the kids and go somewhere and do something. It's great for the youth to be able to go and do something. It's great for all of our ministries to be able to use. It's great for being able to pick up our U of O students and be an asset to the Lionheart ministry of being able to take them. Most of the students that are a part of Lionheart are international students. They don't have transportation. They don't have cars. So they're not able to easily, like, go hiking or to go places or do things or even go to Walmart. You know, we have students that walk to Walmart. That's kind of unthinkable for most of us. But having something like that is a great resource for the organization and also for the community of being able to do things. So we ask that you be praying about solutions with that, of being able to find a way to kind of meet those needs, because we know that God can meet those needs. He's done it before. We have no reason to doubt that he's going to do it again. But we just wanted to be open and real with you guys and let you know that these are some needs that we're looking at right now. Do you want to go prepare? And Aisha, you want to help him? Jared, come play something behind. Man, I sound bossy. Do this. You guys do this. I am a little bossy. Come on. Do it faster. So I know we went a little bit long today, and I know that this was kind of a little bit of a weird message. It's not like a normal kind of teaching kind of message, but like I said, I really feel like it's important for you to understand our hearts, to understand who we are, to understand where we're going and what we're trying to build, because what we're building here is part of the kingdom. As we grow as Project Community, as we grow as Project Church, as we grow together as the body of Christ, then we are helping to build the community, to build the kingdom. So we are going to serve you guys communion today. And we wanted to do it this way because we wanted to take communion together. Because it doesn't matter if you're not committed to Project Church as an organization. What matters is that you're committed to being a part of the body of Christ. What matters is that you are committed to being a part of the community of believers that's not just here in Clarksville, that's not just in Johnson County, not just in Arkansas. God made a global church. The church is global, it's multicultural, it's multifaceted, and as we grow stronger individually and here in this room, the kingdom grows stronger. So I wanted to read this passage to you guys today. It's Ephesians 2, 17 through 22. It said, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Jesus brought us together. His life showed us how to live together in peace. And his death united us. So consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.